It's Acts chapter 13, verse 1. If you would look at that section of your Bible, it says this. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. I think that scripture will make a little more sense with the sermon this morning. So, if you weren't here in the beginning, my name is Bobby. I'm the pastor here. It is great to have you here this morning. We are in a series called Mission. We define mission as this: sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. And so here, where this is where we have been so far. If you're new to this, or you've just kind of forgotten, if you hit every single sermon or listen to them on our podcast, I just want to remind us as we catch up to Acts chapter 13 where we've been in 1 through 12. So first is that's how we define mission, was sent to speak and respond to God's work of redemption. Acts 1:8 is our theme verse for the entire book. That is mission to the neighborhood, mission to the 805, and then mission to the end. And so it says in Acts 1:8 that you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so we see Jerusalem, local context, that's Acts 3 through 7. Judea and Samaria was our last series, mission to the 805, which is our county. And then missions to the ends of the earth, which is mission to the end. But I want to be clear on this, mission to the end. I didn't say mission to the ends of the earth because I want this to stay mission to the end, because we never stop being on mission. It's not like we change gears. It's not like we go from mission to the neighborhood and then we switch gears and go mission to the county. We stay on mission in our neighborhood as we are on mission to our county. And then through church planting and through world missions, they keep going. And it's mission to the end forever and always, as Christians, at least till Jesus comes back. We are on a mission until Christ returns. Amen? Amen. You guys with me this morning?
Yes.
And so we are, as Christians, called to be mission to the end. If you're not here, if you are here, you're not here, I don't know what to tell you. If you are here and you're not a Christian, is what I'm trying to say, just listen in. Because I think what you'll find is that there is a purpose for us as Christians, and as a purpose as a Christian, not just as like one of many religions, but the purpose of Christianity sets a purpose for all humanity to bring about freedom from sin and forgiveness, to make a right relationship with God. And it is, and I know this is a kind of a profound statement nowadays, but Jesus is still the only way to God. Like, he's it. We have, it's not like Christianity says we have a corner on the market on how to live. It's not just like a religion, one of many. It's, we truly believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. How we live is a fruit of the fact that we have been made right with God. There's no other way. There's no other Savior that has provided a way for us to be right with God, because no other prophet or guru has established a way for us to have forgiveness of sins other than Jesus Christ himself. And once we believe in Jesus Christ, we then receive the Holy Spirit through believing that he lived and died and rose for us, our sins removed, his righteousness, his life given to us, declared to us. And then from that point, we now receive the Holy Spirit so that we can be on mission. I think sometimes the church is really good at known for what it's being against. But when we think about being on mission, we let the world know what we are for. What we are for. My main point this morning is that we are sent to send. That we are sent to send. As we define mission, we are sent. So what does that mean? Well, let's just pretend that Jesus Christ, everything that I said in the beginning, you guys actually believe, okay? we're just going to pretend. So we can take all the personalization out of it, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring you back into it, that's fine. But let's just pretend that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You guys with me? Yes. Everybody there? Yes. That heaven, outside of heaven, the only option after life is hell. And that is a place, a real place, where there is gnashing of teeth. It is eternal damnation. It is eternally receiving from the wrath of God. And you will be there for the rest of eternity. Does that sound like a good place?
No,
it's not. Does not sound that. Admit, again, we're just imagining. Okay, just pretend like we might believe this. Now, say all of a sudden you get saved from that destination of hell. Now you're going to heaven, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so you have a cure for people to no longer eternally suffer, but God has not only saved you, but said, hey, I want you to be an ambassador, a messenger, for you to be able to deliver this message. Are you in? And you get saved, and you get baptized, and you're like, I'm in. Again, we're just pretending. But what would stop you then from sharing that message with everyone? Like, imagine, you know, everybody close their eyes. Whether you believe in this or not, picture hell. Let your imagination go wild. The wrath of God continually on. It's not a party. It's not where all your unsaved friends are having a kegger. The wrath of God is abiding on the wicked every single day, every single hour, every single minute. It is abiding over the wicked. There is a pressure. Some people that have had visions of hell, there's like a bending over of the back, which is where we get the demonic understanding of kind of this arched over back, because the wrath of God is so heavily upon the person, the soul. There is weeping. What does it take in pain for you to gnash your teeth? Just think about that for a minute. Everybody open your eyes. We have a cure for that. People don't have to go there. We have the ability, we have this message to be able to give to people so they no longer have to experience hell and everything that you just might have imagined, but actually experience rightness with God and heaven for eternity. Where it's like we get new bodies, there's no more cancer, there's no more health issues, there's no more nothing. Why is there gates on heaven's doors? It's not to keep people out, it's to keep sin out. Why is that good news? Because when we go to heaven, there's no more sin, which means there's no more sorrow. There's no more tears. We get to be, are you sensing the freedom that comes with that? Again, we're just imagining. Now, just imagine all that's true. Does that not want to motivate you to be able to share with other people? Isn't there like a something in you that might say, hey, I should probably share this with other people? We are sent. We are sent to share this. You know, now just imagine you actually believe everything I just said. That means something is going to change in you to where you're going to want to share, to where you're going to want to actually come up to people and say, hey, brother, how's the condition of your soul? You see, we are sent. Why I want you to imagine this is because we see this in this story, which is a true story in the book of Acts, because they actually believed this stuff. They actually believed that Jesus was the only way. They actually believed that people had an issue with their inability to be able to find forgiveness of sin. Therefore, they were going to face God when they die. Man dies once according to Hebrews, and then there is judgment. So when man loses his breath and breathes his last, his soul stands before God. Now, there's one of two ways to deal with this. You either deal with your own sin, and because you have sinned against an eternal God, there's an eternal punishment for that sin, or you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who goes, I died for his sins. His record is made clean. And then God the Father goes, innocent, forgiven, enter into the joy of your rest. And then we enter into heaven. See, they actually believed that back then, which caused them to get motivated to go out and share. It caused them to go, hey, we should probably tell people about this. We should probably let people know. Where our context is this morning is that the apostles, they received the Holy Spirit when after Jesus ascended, as we heard on the video. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit descends upon them. Peter preaches. Thousands get saved. The disciples start to minister. Thousands more get saved. But then there's pushback. There's a satanic pushback to this message. And then Stephen gets killed. The church scatters. Philip goes to Samaria. Saul gets saved. Peter sees animals coming down from the sky. Things are getting crazy. Gentiles hear and receive the gospel. James gets killed. Peter gets rescued by an angel of the Lord. And Herod, the guy who kills James, dies. But right before James dies, something amazing happens. If you turn back in your Bible to Acts chapter 11, verse 19. We're just going to skim through this. It says, now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as, and then it just kind of begins to go out, one of the towns being Antioch, and they were speaking the words to no one except for the Jews. Verse 20. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And report came this to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Again, the preaching of Jesus was for the Jews. That was kind of like, that was where they were at. But now the Hellenists, which are Greek-speaking Jews and intermingled in marriage, they came to know the Lord, which is this church in Antioch. So they sent Barnabas, as we know, as a man of encouragement, to Antioch. Verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, which then brings us to our context of today. So we saw in Acts chapter 11 that this church in Antioch not only gets planted, but then Barnabas and Saul spend a year there, now pastoring the church. And then we see now there we're at the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers. First thing I want to say is, my first point is the church. It says they were in the church at Antioch. You ever struggle with loving the church? Anyone? It's okay, you can be honest. I struggle with it. I've been struggling all morning. There's a struggle that comes because there's brokenness within the church of Christ. Not only we've been talking about the church, not only invisibly, but visibly as well. And like if we just look around today and go, hey, how's our church doing? Or how are we feeling this morning? Or is there hurt? Is there relationships that are scattered? Is there, Like, if you look around, yeah, probably. Like, you know, people aren't feeling good. People judge one another. You know, the church is kind of a mess at times. And so I think sometimes it's hard to really love the church. But the scriptures say and proclaim that the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. That the church is Jesus' bride. That she's holy and blameless. And that she's being sanctified. She's being made to maturity. And so the church is something that we're called to love and embrace. But what I want to challenge you on is that, see, church planting, which is what we're about to step into for the next journey of Paul and Barnabas, and then we kind of focus in from Peter as a main character to now Saul, who becomes Paul. He goes on and he spreads that message that I just asked you guys to imagine you believed was true, and he spreads that through church planting. We see that in Antioch, and we see that here. But I think for us to be able to really go, hey, church planting is important, therefore, why? Because of the message. See, if we plant churches, then more people hear about that message. Not only do they hear about the message, but they get discipled in different types of contexts and different languages and different styles of worship, and that's okay. Let's just plant multiple churches upon churches upon churches. Why? Because we believe the message of the gospel. But if we back that up a little bit, do we actually believe the message of the gospel gives us a great love for the church? And so my first point is do you love the church? Because if you don't, all the words that I say in regards to like challenging us to be excited about church planning and watching that video are just going to fall short. My second point is this, prophets and teachers. What we see in the scriptures is we say that they're in the church and there were prophets and there were teachers. Now, I want to take a tangent for those of you that have been walking with Jesus for a while. There's beliefs out there called, there's a belief specifically called cessationism that believes that the prophetic and things like tongues and stuff has ceased. Cessationism means to they have ceased. And there's good reason. I have some good, strong friends and some awesome Christians and some churches that we love and even help support that believe that things like prophecy have ceased. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that as I've studied it through, I think the gift of prophecy exists today. And so what we see is that we not only see prophecy in teachers, but we see different roles of people in the church beginning to move in their giftings. And so the challenge is what is your gift? And if you feel like God has gifted you with a gift, are you using it within the local church? How many of you guys have the gift of prophecy? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Anyone? No? Yeah, I've moved in the gift of prophecy. I've been given a word of the Lord. Yeah, Janet, you have? Don't be ashamed. It's okay. Anybody else? Kurt? No, where's Haley at? Is she back there? No, she wants to have that gift. How cool would it be to be able to just come up to somebody and just start praying for that person, and the next thing you know, you get a word from the Lord. Like, hey, are you struggling in your marriage? No, Jake isn't married. That's just the example I came up with. I remember one time I was at a church, and I was praying for somebody. Actually, somebody else was praying for them, and I was praying for them like this, and it just kept coming into my mind about how they're struggling in their business, And I heard the conversation right before they started praying, and everything was fine with their business. But I'm like, you know what, brother? Something's going on in your the line of, like, where are you struggling at? And then all of a sudden, he just breaks down and starts crying. It's like, oh, because he was not being honest in some areas of his business. The Lord was convicting him. He wasn't ready yet, but the Lord was and spoke through me to prompt him to speak into this. Why I've been struggling all morning this morning is I feel like God wants us to move in the gift of prophecy. Does that scare some of you guys? Uh-huh. Yeah. It should. It's scary. It's messy. It's one of the things that we see and why I believe, I personally believe, why some people create theology so they don't have to really believe in this stuff, because some people have taken it to the extreme. Some people do it unbiblically. We see Word of Faith preachers out there making money. Everybody probably saw the jet, the 50-some-odd million-dollar jet out there that this guy's trying to raise money to buy, and because he believes he can spread the gospel better. $52 or $53 million for a jet. Man, do you know what we could do with church planting with that amount of money? But it's been abused. The gifts have been abused. Speaking in tongues. How many of you guys, now this is an honest moment, how many of you guys have the gift of a prayer language to speak in tongues? Right here. I do. I pray almost every single night for this city, and as I go up, I have no idea how the Spirit wants me to pray, so I just pray. The Spirit just prays through me. I speak in tongues. I have no idea. And then so every once in a while, I feel like, oh, that's what God's prompting me to pray. And I find oftentimes when I'm in a group of people and I'm praying in the Spirit, just within my own spirit, just praying that God will prompt me to pray for something, and then I'll be praying, and then all of a sudden, somebody else will pray that same exact prayer, and I'm like, oh, God, you're doing something here. And it's a confirmation on how he's speaking through me and speaking to me about how to pray. How many of you guys want this? Sure, I like it. I'll take it, Dana. Sure, why not? Let's do that. So this side of the room's good. Got some action over here. Let's take a minute and pray, if you don't mind. If you're here and you're like, I want no part of this, and you're just like, I don't even know what you're talking about, that's okay. Just pray that God will reveal himself to you. But man, oh man, do we need the Spirit right now. That gift of prophecy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, spiritual gifts. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that you would gift this church with your giftings of your Spirit. Lord God, that you would begin to anoint some here with the gift of prophecy, Lord God. That there would be people here that could hear your voice, Lord Jesus. They wouldn't have to be curious or wonder, but they would, just like your sheep know your voice, that they could hear not only as just like a feeling or an understanding or even a voice within or even a voice outside, like an audible voice, Lord God. I pray that you would give us the gift to be able to hear and recognize your voice. That our prayers would go from a one-sided prayer of requests to a two-sided conversation, that we commune, that we have relation with you, where you speak into our lives, Lord God. As I walk in this, Lord, I'm super surprised at how many other people don't have this. And so, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint our church with the ability to be able to hear your voice. Lord God, I also pray for the gift of prophecy, Lord God, for those that want it. Your scriptures even say that we should want these gifts because they bring greater glory to your name. That we get to have information outside of us for another person to see a person come to know who you are. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give the gift of prophecy to our church. That you would give some the word of wisdom, some a word of knowledge, some the gift of tongues, some the gift of healing, some prophecy, Lord God, some administration, some teaching, some preaching, Lord God, that you would move in our church, that we could be a church that is Holy Spirit filled, moving in the giftings that you have given each and every Christian here. Lord God, would you forgive us and cause us to repent for the gifts that you have given us that we have quenched or we have squandered. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Anybody got a word from the Lord? Anyone? You think I was just going to pray and just not actually just like move on to the next thing? Robert, you got a word from the Lord? What do you got, man?
Just to step up. It's something I've wanted, and I do as best as I can, but basically just now it's just time to improve it and get it better.
Okay.
Do more.
All right. Well, let's go with that. Everybody, if you're comfortable, if you could reach your hands towards Robert, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would cause Robert to step up. Whatever that looks like for him, Lord God, I pray that you would, in Jesus' name, that you would empower him with your Holy Spirit and the things that cause him to not step into who you're calling him to be. Lord God, I pray that you would get, like, that they would, he would have a focus, Lord God. Almost like with blinders on, that he would have like just a clear-cut focus on what you're calling him to, and that you would empower him in Jesus' name to step up. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Well, Bobby, I was in on all the efforts to look for a new pastor and to do the pastoral search and all that, and I really see God's hand. I saw it so strongly that God's hand was on you to bring you here. And so our job is to get with the program.
There you go.
God's moving.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I don't have a word necessarily, but I want to say that I think a lot of people are experiencing the gifts and may not realize it. We had teaching at a previous church, at a Foursquare church, and I started to realize that God was telling me things, and I didn't know that they were from God necessarily. And when people were sharing, sometimes, someone said, my gift is visual. I get word pictures in my head when I'm speaking to someone or praying for someone, and I realized it was from God. Or, a word of knowledge or wisdom I used to get, and I would suddenly know something that I know there was no way I could have known that. And I realized that God was telling me something for a purpose and a reason. And I just want to encourage you guys to just be aware and start looking out and thinking, this is something from the Lord. This isn't just a thought I had or a bizarre thought that popped into my head that seemed out of place. But start looking for those things that God may be putting in your mind, in your heart. Because sometimes they're not, flashing lights and crazy things. It's just kind of seems ordinary. Other times it is stronger. You know what I mean? Sometimes when something keeps coming back, every time you're praying, you're hearing this. Tell this person something. Tell this person. I'm like, yeah, I should tell them. And then it occurred to me, oh, God wants me to tell this person this. I'm getting a message. So I just want to encourage you to open your eyes, ask for the Spirit to give you wisdom and discernment when he's talking to you, and he will make it clear.
Amen.
Sounds maybe impossible, but that's exactly how I got closer to God, is through teaching Sunday school, teaching all the stories. And that's why I always am praying for a good curriculum and a good Sunday school department here with all the teachers.
That's a word from the Lord that you all need to sign up for our kids ministry. I don't know if you caught that or not, right? That's what you're saying, right, Katie? See? Now it's just up to you guys to obey. So we are called to actually believe the gospel. We are called to actually believe that there's a hell in which we've been saved from. We are called to love the church. And we are called to move in the gifts that God has through his Spirit given us. And then we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We see this. We see that they were at Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manian, Manian and Saul. So these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them. And then they fasted and prayed again as confirmation, and then they laid hands on them, which is a signification of fellowship and sending, that they are sent, and then they sent them off. I want to remind you guys, and Dana, thank you so much for saying that. Something I've told my son that when we first moved here, we My son Silas was in recreational soccer in Reno. And if you don't know the soccer scene, let me just tell you, it's very different. Now, granted, his team was undefeated for 2 years in a row, but it was also a very different scene. But he acquired a particular set of skills in which he was able to play soccer well. And then from that point, he got noticed by Nana, who's one of our members here, just recently got baptized. And he went from rec soccer to club soccer, not only from rec to club, but also playing a year up. And he's not very tall for his age. Forgive me for saying so. So he's a small little guy with these kids. He was playing at one time with multiple people on the other team that had beards. Okay, so just to give you kind of like where we're at here. And he used to get a little frustrated with himself about how, I didn't do that well or whatever. And I used to tell him this. This is how this will apply. Dude, you went from a rec soccer organization to club soccer a year up. Bro, you shouldn't be where you're at. So every second you have on the field, see it as not an expectation, but see it as a gift, because you shouldn't be here. Like, it's impossible for you to naturally be here. God has blessed you with this ability to be. Every second you're on the field, you just, man, embrace it. And I used to try to encourage him with that. Why do I tell that story? Every sermon I preach, I feel the same way. In 2014, I got a vision and a word from the Lord to come back to the Central Coast. And then my wife and I, we were running really hard in ministry, and we were set out to go look on the Central Coast. We're kind of focusing in on Paso Robles, because it's a growing city. There wasn't a lot of church plants there. And so we were kind of focusing in on that. And then my wife, God bless her, she threw up the yellow flag and said, hey, we need to work on our marriage a little bit. So we took some time off and focused in on our marriage, because we've been running really hard in ministry for a really long time. And I neglected her in multiple different ways because I was so forward focused that my family behind me, specifically her, was being neglected. So we circled the wagons back in, and so now I have this vision in 2014 about coming back to the Central Coast that we just put on pause. And I literally at one point just said, Lord, I don't even know if I heard from you. I'm just going to question the whole thing. I'm going to lay it all at your feet and just go, here it is, Lord. I don't need to be back in ministry. I can retire doing tile work or something along those lines. I don't need to be in ministry, but I feel like you called me. And then I slowly got back into ministry and then I got a call from Brian Howard. He said, hey, you interested in coming to a church near Santa Barbara called Goleta Valley Church? And much like Silas, when he went in from rec soccer to club soccer, I realized, Lord, this is a gift. That's how I know, no matter what our attendance is, no matter how unengaged you guys are in worship. Did I say that out loud? Because I meant to. No matter where we are at a church, as a church, I know what God is going to do here, what He is doing here. And my main point this morning is this: we are sent to send. What that means is that we are sent with the gospel message, not just for us to be a healthy church, but what makes us a healthy church is to become a healthy church and therefore send others. And by the glory of God and our joy, I picture that we will one day, like Barnabas and Saul, stood before these prophets and teachers and pastors and elders, and they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, that there will one day be a group of people here that we will send out to go plant a church, being filled with the Holy Spirit, prophetically sending, and then lay hands on them and plant a church from this church, so that we can be a church planting church and being in the next, writing the next chapter of this church as we live out the book of Acts. It's going to happen. And just like the video, the question is, what part will you play? I could have the worship band come up and the deacons come up for communion. One of the things that we see in the gospel is that I'm hoping that whether it was about worship or no matter what it was, that there would be some, maybe a little burden and maybe a little conviction. One of the great things about the gospel is that this table is for all people to come and embrace. This table right here that represents the wine, the body of Christ that was broken for us, and the juice that represents the blood of Christ that was spilled for us. In these things, church, we find forgiveness and freedom. And so what's great about the gospel is this, is no matter how many times you have fallen, by the grace of God, we get to stand back up. No matter how many times you've compromised or gotten lazy, neglected or pushed down the gift that God has given you, we can, by the gospel, live into the freedom that he has now set for, like, and make a commitment today. Lord, I'm going to be a part of your great plan. I know you have sent me here so I could be a part of sending other people elsewhere to the glory of God and our joy. And so I would ask that I'm going to invite you up to the table here in a second to take communion, and then when you take it, just hold on to it. We'll take it together as a family.